I want to welcome our radio listeners today. I'm going to welcome those that are joining us on the internet later on this week. We're thankful for that opportunity. Thankful for all those in our congregation today. It's a blessing to be able to come and to share with you today God's Word. Acts chapter 21. The sermon's entitled, The Beginning of the End. Okay, the beginning of the end. And I'd like us as a congregation to read verse 14 together as a congregation. And since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, the will of the Lord be done. Heavenly Father, this is the word that you have given to us this day. And I would pray, Lord, that you would, again, as always, use this word powerfully in all of our lives. I ask that you would remove the distractions of this day and of this past week and even of the week to come. And that, Lord God, we would just focus now upon your will for us in this day and in this word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The beginning of the end. I've observed how it is when you know something is coming, you're able to prepare for it. In a sober note, this whole coronavirus circumstance, we're catching more and more news of this, of course. And this is a serious circumstance, but there are certain preparations that we can do. This last week, Mrs. Fisher had sent out a whole document on how our school is preparing and how we can be prepared in that way. And our teachers have that guide of washing things down and being very careful. There's certain precautions that we can take to protect ourselves in things that we know could be likely or could occur. That's part of preparing. That was a sober note. On a little lighter note, of course, as you probably know, Gloria comes home on Tuesday. Okay, and it's been me and my two boys most of the week by ourselves. And, you know, and I say this with all love, but Gloria is a clean freak, okay? Me and the boys, not so much, okay? So what's that mean? When I know she's going to come home on Tuesday, what best I be doing before she gets home? Cleaning up, all right. So yeah, so I'm going to take preparation. I'm going to be prepared. When she comes home, I want to be prepared when she comes home. So I'm going to have the house all cleaned up. That's part of what we're talking about today, because the theme is very similar. How can we best prepare for whatever lies ahead? You ever thought about that? How can I best prepare for whatever lies ahead? Now, this text of Paul in chapter 21 really, I think, helps us in that, because what's going to occur, I use the title, The Beginning of the End. What's going to occur, you see, is that these final chapters of the book of Acts really see a transition occur. Paul, up to this point, has been proclaiming God's word as a missionary, as a pastor. From this point forward, Paul is no longer going to be declaring God's word as a missionary pastor, but as a prisoner for Christ. There's going to be a transition that occurs. And all the way through these chapters, you're going to read about Paul's imprisonment and his appeal even onto the Council of Rome and to the emperor. And we're going to be reading about that. So this is the beginning of the end. The book of Acts, now we're going to kind of go start turning towards what will become the end of this missionary time of Paul and the book of Acts. So my question was this: how can we best prepare for whatever lies ahead? I believe the text today will give to us three principles that we can look to as we prepare for whatever life holds. What can we do? Number one is this: be sure of your purpose. Be sure of your purpose. Now, I used for this idea here verse 1 and following. And one thing I want to draw attention to, first of all, is this picture, because Paul was sure of his purpose, and we're going to come back to that in a little bit, but I want us to see that map. Can you find Ephesus there? When we left off last week, you see Ephesus, and just see a little bit of the south area of that town called Miletus. That's where we start today. So Paul is going to travel from Miletus to Kos to Rhodes to Patara, and then all the way over to Phoenicia, Samaria, and he's going to end up in Jerusalem. That's what we're going to talk about today. This is some 600 miles of sea travel. The distance from Tyre or Phoenicia there down to Jerusalem is about 65 miles, okay? So we would see now Paul is really intent on getting to Jerusalem, okay? And why is that? He has an offering that he's going to offer to the Jerusalem church on behalf of the Gentiles that he has just visited. Okay, that's going to be very important. We'll come back to that. But you see, Paul is sure of his purpose. And I want to preface this point by saying, first of all, that all of you have a purpose. Okay, we have to recognize that. And it's interesting, I was reading in a devotional book this past week, and the comment was made by this author that he says, the first words of the Bible dictate and determine that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is a God of order. God is a God of creation. So God didn't create us without purpose, without a plan, but there was rather a purpose and a plan in all that God does. So we have to start today by recognizing that there is a purpose and there is a plan that God would have for you and for your life. I don't care how old or how young or how whatever you are, God would have a purpose and God would have a plan for you. Now, for Paul in particular, and I believe for us even in general, that when we would begin to see that purpose is going to include people, okay? And we would see that again in the text of chapter 21, verse 1. Notice what it says, when we had parted from them and set sail, we set a straight course. Now, it's something very interesting happens here. Remember how we'd left last week? Paul is literally on the beach with these Ephesian leaders, these people that he had loved and taught and trained, and they are weeping. They are just, it's really hard for Paul to leave. And in verse 1 of chapter 21, there's an interesting word here. It says, when we had parted from them, some of you might have torn ourselves away. The idea in that verb is that this was a departure of great difficulty for Paul. He didn't want to leave, and the people didn't want him to leave. Why is that? Because there was a great relationship that Paul had built in ministry. And we see over and over, all the way through Paul's ministry, people were important. And as we go through even this text here, we don't learn a lot about the geography. We don't learn a lot about any specific plan for how to witness or minister to a certain town. They weren't plotting and planning that way. But rather we see Paul's bigger account and the people that he impacts and the power of the gospel in that impact. But I want us to observe today that when we find our purpose, we're gonna be involved with people. And we're going to impact people's lives. And leaving them behind is going to be hard. That's what Paul is seeing here. But that shows us the powerful and important influence that Paul had upon those he ministered to. Oh, how I pray that that would be with us too. That as we minister in our lives, as we work in all that we would do, that we would have that powerful impact upon people. That there would be a sadness in our departure. That there would be a missing of us if we were gone. That's what happened to Paul here. They literally had to tear themselves away. The word again shows an emotional attachment that had to be severed or had to be broken. You see, Paul was a builder of relationships, and Paul, in his purpose, was also one that sought to break down barriers. Okay, the whole idea in this chapter is this offering that Paul had collected from the Gentile churches to bring over to Jerusalem, to the Jerusalem church, an offering from the Gentiles to the Jews. What's the significance of that? Remember we talked about this demarcation or this line that existed between Jew and Gentile, and about the racial and ethnic prejudice that existed between those two groups? Can you imagine the message that an offering from Gentile churches, especially poor Gentile churches over in Asia Minor and in Greece and in Corinth and all this area, how what that would mean to the Jewish people as they brought this offering back? That's what Paul was doing. He was bringing this offering to this church, and he was doing it in order to break down a barrier that existed at that time between Jew and Gentile, even within the church. Dear friends, as we build relationships, we must be about breaking down barriers. We have to tear down those walls. We have to break those barriers down rather than building them up. And sadly, we're so much better at building up barriers, aren't we? We're a lot better at separating ourselves from others. And yet we would see clearly in God's word, we're called upon to break down those barriers. So as we begin to know our purpose, or as we're sure of our purpose, our purpose is going to involve people. Our purpose is going to involve relationships. Our purpose, I believe, is going to be involving a sense of unity and a breaking down barriers. And then I believe our purpose here could potentially be one of hardship and of trial. And we would learn that from Paul, wouldn't we? Okay? All the way through these last chapters, what have we learned about Paul? That the guys here, and even Agabus in this chapter down in chapter or in verse 10 and following, and others in chapter 20, what are they warning Paul of? They're warning Paul of the difficulty to come. But you see, when you're sure of your purpose, you willingly can face hardship and burden and trial. When we're sure of our purpose, as Paul was, he could take on whatever life gave him. Whatever persecution came, Paul was willing to forego or to undergo that because he was confident in his purpose of bringing this offering. He was confident in his purpose as a missionary. Remember when Paul was called back in, I think it was chapter 9, Ananias and that road to Damascus and this bright light and all that stuff. And remember that word that Paul was given? God had said, this man will find out how much he must suffer for my name. Remember, right from the very beginning, Paul was aware that suffering was going to be part of his lot in life. Dear friends, we are not exempt from that. And as you follow your purpose, as God declares that purpose, and as we submit to that purpose, we are not guaranteed there's always going to be easy, okay? The idea here is that sometimes as we follow that purpose, there is going to be trial. There is going to be hardship. There is going to be persecution. And I beg us to see today the example of Paul, that despite these things, Paul continued on because he was sure of his purpose. And dear friends, when we're sure of our purpose, we're able to persevere. We're able to withstand even those persecutions and hardships and trials. And then, dear friends, I dare say this, then we're sure of our purpose. You will serve with excellence. And you will serve always unto the glory of God. And that's the example. That's the image that we would see of Paul, isn't it? We would see a man that gave it his best all the time. Dear friends, I believe that's what God's purpose is for you today. To do your best in terms of glorifying Him, in terms of serving Him, to give Him our all. In fact, the Scriptures tell us that part of our purpose, of course, is to glorify God. That's the sole end of man, isn't it? To glorify God. The idea that we're to exalt the Lord in all that we would do, that's a purpose for us. Okay? And I believe today it's so important for us to recognize that the big purpose here, of course, is to glorify God. And we're going to come back to that a little bit later. But the idea is to glorify God. But I do think it's also important for all of us, regardless of our age. I do believe that the purpose to glorify God stays the same all of our lives. But I do believe that in different seasons of time, our purposes can change. Husbands and wives, your purpose stays the same. You're a husband and you're a wife. Children, your purpose stays the same in terms of you're to show respect to your parents. But at some point in time, those young ones are going to get married, and there's a whole new development of purpose that comes. When we work for somebody, when we're an employee, that job may have one purpose. We may change jobs, and there's another purpose that comes, okay? But I want us to observe that those purposes can potentially change. But in each and every one, there's the opportunity that we need to identify what that main purpose is and what God desires us to do in this circumstance. And I go back to the text of Nehemiah chapter 6, and you can just make a note of this. Nehemiah chapter 6, I believe it's verse 3 or verse 4. Nehemiah, of course, is rebuilding the walls of Israel. And there's a lot of pressure on Nehemiah to not do that. And there was a lot of persecution. But you see, Nehemiah, again, was sure of his purpose. So he continued building this wall. And there came a time when his enemies came to him and they tried to get him away from that work. They were going to call a meeting. They said, oh, Nehemiah, come and do this. Come and do this. Do this. And they intended that for harm, of course. You read Nehemiah chapter 6. These guys, they wanted to hurt Nehemiah. But it's interesting, in that text, you know what Nehemiah says? He says, I cannot come now, because I am doing a great work. I am doing a great work. Dear friends, part of our purpose today, I believe, is to identify the great work that God has called you to. Okay? And when I say great, I don't necessarily mean that you're going to be the next president of the United States. But I mean by that today that when we become sure of God's purpose in our life, we can serve with excellence. We can serve with perseverance. We can overcome hardship. We can overcome trial. We can overcome tribulation. We can always serve in all cases unto the glory of God. We can work on breaking down barriers. We can work on building up people. And all of these are contained in the idea of Paul in this chapter 21. In fact, all of his ministry, that these were true of Paul because Paul was sure of his purpose. And my prayer today is that we as God's people would be sure of our purpose as well, that we would identify that great work that God is calling us to, that God is urging us to step forth in faith and accomplish in this day and every day to come. So be sure of your purpose. Point number two, be sure of the Lord's will. How can you prepare for anything in life? Be sure of the Lord's will. Now notice what it says in verse 14, the last part of verse 14b, the will of the Lord be done. Where have you heard that before? How about the lips of Jesus in the prayer of Gethsemane? You know, your will be done, Lord, not mine. This is a prayer of ultimate submission. It's a prayer really of ultimate will of God here, that his will be done. That's our prayer, the Lord's prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that prayer all the time. And yet, do we really mean it? Do we really mean it? What do we really want? We want our will to be done. Let's be honest today. It's not your will be done, my will be done. That's what we have to get over, you see. And I admire in this text because, again, Paul, I believe, was ready for anything life gave to him because he was sure of his purpose, number one. But secondly, he was confident that he was doing the Lord's will. He knew what the Lord's will was, and he set forth to do it. Now, apology already in hand for you today. We could have probably four sermons on point number two alone. What is God's will, Pastor? We could go through that, and there is so much that we could talk about. Let me just briefly summarize maybe just some points of that. What do you think the primary will of God would be? 2 Peter 3:9 is one of those texts. You can look up a little bit later. 2 Peter 3:9 in essence says that God is patient with us because he desires no man to perish. Okay, so what's that mean? What's God's first will for us today? That we would come to faith. That's God's will. That we would come to faith. That we would trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation. That's God's, I believe that's his primary will. That's what he desires. He desires salvation for you today. That is his will for you today. Don't have any doubt about that. That God's will for you today is that you would be saved. And in fact, so much can I say that he has provided every means necessary by which you can be saved. He's provided Christ. There's nothing more you can do other than to receive what God has already done. I believe that's God's will for you today, okay? God's will for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 is another one. You can write that down, look it up later. What's God's will for you? Not only is it salvation, but it is sanctification. What's sanctification, Pastor? Sanctification is that fancy theological word that simply means this, growing more and more like Christ every day. When we are sanctified, we're growing more and more like Christ every day. That's what that means. That's God's will for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. You read that. That's God's will, your sanctification. Okay? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 23, if I recall correctly. What's God's will for you? That whatever you do, you give glory unto God. Those are good places to begin today, dear friends. If we want to determine, we want to know what God's will is, those are great places to start today. So it's not something that's some secret that we don't know, but rather God's will is made known to us. Now, how is that will made known to us? There's the trick question, right? How do I come to know God's will? If you're in doubt about God's will, what are we called to do? Do we go to school for that? Well, not necessarily. Schools really are for diplomas, aren't they? The Bible is for determining God's will. It's by seeking out the truths of God's word that we come to know God's will. Now, sadly, so many people look for God's will in the wrong places. They're going to look for it on Netflix. They're going to look for it. Where else will they look for it? Skyrim, they're going to look for it. Call of Duty, they're going to look for it in their work. They're going to look for it in their hobbies. They're going to look for it in that football game or in that passion that they have for whatever that thing is in life. They're going to look for their purpose. They're going to look for God's will in that thing. Dear friends, know that those things, you will not find God's will. You only find God's will in His Word. As His Word is presented to us in the Scriptures, that's where we find God's will. And dear friends, know this today. What is God's will then? I can tell you what it's not. God's will is not that you be rich and famous and prosperous. Now, some of you are and some of you may be. That's okay. But don't think that that's God's will for all of us. Because what did we just learn about Paul's life? We've learned that Paul's life is not necessarily easy. And the Christian oftentimes, in fact, more times than not, is called to challenge and to trial and to difficulty and to persecution. So we need to recognize that today. But as we see these things then, as we come to know God's will, as we're confident in God's will for us, we can continue then to persevere. And that's what Paul did. Despite this persecution, Paul was able to persevere because he was certain, not only of his purpose, there's also purpose. He was certain that he was doing God's will. Now, I want us to observe what happens in this text that we would maybe miss just by reading it through. A couple things occur. First of all, this place where Paul ends up in Caesarea and in Tyre, and then he comes down 63 miles to Jerusalem, when he landed over there again, do you know what that place was? You know how that church started in Tyre and in Phoenicia? It started because of the persecution of a guy named Stephen. Remember Stephen or Stephen? Remember that? That guy that was first persecuted? Who was the guy that ordered his death, by the way? Paul. Isn't it ironic how the very place that this Christianity, this church really began at as a result of persecution, that now the persecutor is visiting, and instead of tearing down the churches, he's building them up. And I want us maybe to take a little bit of time here. We got a few minutes left. Let's go to the book of Philippians chapter 1. If you want to turn there, keep your thumb in Acts. But let's go to the book of Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, and then you'll find Philippians verse 1. No, I wanted to just share a couple verses here because I think this is so powerful. How Paul, because he was sure of God's will, he was nonetheless, that wasn't going to mean his life was going to be easy, but now I want to see what happens. Because Paul went to Jerusalem, because he got into all this stuff going on and he ends up in court and being told lies about and all this stuff, notice what happened. He ends up in jail. As a result of this chapter 21 and what comes after it here, Paul ends up in jail. Notice what he says in Philippians chapter 1. He says, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else." Dear friends, I want us to recognize that God is a God who can work good even from which is difficult and hard. We would see that over and over and over again in Scripture. And Paul, because he was sure of his purpose, because he was sure of he was doing God's will, willingly continued on to Jerusalem, gave up this offering, was falsely accused, ended up in imprisonment. We'll talk about that in the weeks to come. But out of all of these things that looked so bad on the outside, what did God do? God worked them for good. Dear friends, there are most likely things in your life right now that feel really bad and really miserable and really difficult. Might I dare say that God can use them for good? And we would see that all the way through the Scriptures. That's a truth and a lesson that we would see in how God works and helps us then to be prepared for whatever lies ahead. Be sure of your purpose and be sure you are doing God's will. And I'll be brief on this last one here because I'm going to have to be. Be sure you're being watched. Be sure you are being watched. Now, I take that from Acts 21. Let's go back now to Acts 21. I think it was verse 29, I think. Yeah, this is that last part where Paul is seized in the temple, and he comes back up top there in verse 17. He comes back to Jerusalem. He gives a missionary account to the church, which I find interesting because as Paul gave that missionary account, in verse 19, he greeted this Jerusalem church. He began to relate to them one by one the things God had done. Notice that, the things God had done. Paul didn't relate all the great things he had done. He related the things that God had done. Okay? I think that really is interesting there. So he came back. He was accountable, you see. The ministry that God entrusted to him, he was accountable to that. So he came back and he gave an accounting of that work to the Jerusalem church, which is very appropriate. But there were people watching all this, and there were those that were upset with Paul, especially for evangelizing the Gentiles, and they got all upset. And in verse 29, I took this last point from verse 29. Notice what it says, "For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, in the city with him." And it says, "And they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple." Now, according to Jewish law, Trophimus, who was not a Jew, could not come into that inner part of the temple. Okay? So they had been watching Paul, and they saw him with this guy, and what they do? They wrongly assume that Paul did something incorrect. And they just jumped on that. But what that taught me in this text is that, dear friends, people are watching you. When we proclaim that we are believers in Christ, people watch you. They are observing how you act. They are observing how you handle situations and difficulties. They're observing how you handle even the good things in your life, who you give credit to, how you handle all those things. You are being watched. I don't say that as a way to scare you or to judge you, but just so you would know, you're being watched. And the message that we give is important, okay? So please know that today. We are called upon in Scripture to be ambassadors for Christ. And sadly, quite frankly, is it not true that many parts of our life probably don't want anyone to watch or see? Because the example probably isn't that good, is it? So I want to encourage us today, just briefly today, to recognize that we can be prepared for anything when we recognize that we're also being watched all the time. I'm going to close today with a very special picture of my grandma, Grandma Jen. Geneva, she passed to glory in 2005. And she was a very significant influence in my life and in my wife's life. And when Gloria and I first began to date, Geneva would always, when we visited the farm, Geneva would always make it her habit of inviting Gloria over for coffee. And they drank out of these fancy teacups on these little doilies, whatever they're called, you know, and these gals would sit around and, you know, they would drink coffee all afternoon and eat cookies and just talk. But Gloria said, "Geneva made me feel so special, just made me feel so significant and so loved." And over the time, Gloria witnessed the peace that Geneva carried, how she carried it. She never spoke an ill word of anybody. She saw Geneva's deep love for God's word, and she saw Geneva's deep love for children. She taught Sunday school for decades of time. And it was interesting because you know what Gloria said about Geneva? Gloria had not been saved then. Well, neither of us were saved at that time. And she came to a place and she said, "I want what she's got. I want what she's got." I'll never forget the service, one of the first times we attended Abiding Savior over on Claudus. And Pastor Brandt was proclaiming God's word, proclaiming the gospel, and my wife was weeping. And that was the day that she came to be saved. She came finally to connect that what Geneva had is what she needed as well. And what was needed was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she came to that day that came to a place of faith. And I think of this picture often. I think of that example often of the impact that this little old lady had on a whole family and the impact that she's going to have potentially in the time to come. Dear friends, she was ready for anything, okay? And my plea to you is that we too are ready, that we too are prepared. And this is how we know that. With confidence in the Lord, we have confidence for whatever lies ahead. With confidence in the Lord, we have confidence for whatever lies ahead. Heavenly Father, use now this word in my life, of course, but in all of our lives. God, that we would be sure and that we would be confident in you and that we would recognize our purpose, that we would recognize that we're doing your will and that we would recognize, God, that we're being watched. And Heavenly Father, above all else, would that confidence we have be a confidence in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening. God's word is indeed powerful and life-giving.
If this broadcast has blessed you, would you contact us and let us know? We consider it a privilege to hear from you and to pray for you. If you've received a blessing, would you also give a blessing and ask God to lead you in partnering with us through prayer or with a gift to our radio ministry? Please contact us at Abiding Savior Free Lutheran Church, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at 605-371-3800, or you can find us on the web at knowingthesavior.org. We're also excited to let our radio listeners know about Shiloh Free Lutheran Church, which is a new church plant in Rapid City, South Dakota. To find out more, please visit shilohfreelutheran.org or call 605-200-2758. We consider it a privilege to bring you the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May our Lord bless you richly this day.